Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I've got filmmaker Jonathan Latona at the end of the table. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, so I'm doing well. Jonathan's doing well. We are about to hear his answers to the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that you should seek out. But before we jump into his answers, I want to remind you that if you listen to the podcast before this one, we were talking about his film, Doug. I'm a big fan of Doug. Doug from 2020. So you should go to Jonathan Latona, JonathanLatona.com. Or, Johnny Boy Films.
At Johnny Boy Films. JonathanLatona.com.
Yeah. So there you can find out where to watch Doug. Best thing is to watch it on Vimeo, I think. Vimeo pay-per-view or Vimeo On Demand, whatever it is.
Vimeo On Demand Vimeo or Amazon Prime.
Or Prime.
Or the two best ways.
And then you can see a really cool super indie flick, feature film. But we're going to find out what inspires Jonathan right now by letting him answer those four questions I already rattled off. So without any further introduction... And by the
Let's
way, I'm paying
it.
Attention to you. I'm not texting
yeah.
while you
no,
answer.
No, I'm
actually going
to... I'm checking to see, are these really the answers to my question?
Yeah, and I'm gonna write your answers down on my phone as you answer them. So I'm not texting someone while you talk. I'm writing down your answers.
No worries.
All right, here, go ahead. Hit. What are your top three favorites?
Well, the ones that I wrote down, I mean, they're always changing, but these are the three that I think about all the time are, Taxi Driver, There Will Be Blood, and Mulholland Drive. And, for three very specific reasons, Taxi Driver was the first movie that I, like the first real movie that I remember seeing that I know for a fact, that I've seen countless times after, again and again and again, and it always has a special place in my heart. I even have a Taxi Driver poster and a Travis Bickle t-shirt, so if that tells you anything. There Will Be Blood, because it was the first movie that I went to go see that was just in theaters that literally blew me the fuck away. Everything from the score to just the way that was shot, kind of just made a huge impact, to me when I was just starting to go to film school. And, Mulholland Drive, because, you know, everybody loves David Lynch.
But everybody who's smart does.
Well,
yeah.
Notice how I didn't say Eraserhead. Well, I do have an Eraserhead poster in my room, but it's Mulholland Drive, because that was when I went to go interview for North Carolina School of the Arts. We got into a very deep conversation in what is it? Is it a dream or is it a crazy, whatever the fuck it is, prank or whatever. And it was a dream, but you know, those are the three movies I think that really like stick with me and had a profound impact on me.
And those are three, besides being great films, those are three, I think they're very fairly called auteur films where they are made. It is a vision of an artist.
Yes.
In this film medium. Mm. For sure. I mean, Mulholland Drive, great. There Will Be Blood is my number one Paul Thomas Anderson, hands down.
It's definitely one of his best movies, for
sure.
That
film just blows my brains out every time. If I see, you know, 15 seconds of it, there's 2 hours of my life. I'm going to watch it to the end. I can't stop. And that introduction, I got to blab about the introduction, man. Like 20-something minutes of no dialogue to start the film, and you learn so much.
Yeah, it's one of the more important, if you wanted to call it like an American movie, I think it's one of the most important movies, you know, within that caliber that were ever made, just because, I mean, it is a true cinematic masterpiece. And I remember going to see it with one of my closest buddies. I had two free tickets and my mom didn't want to go. And so him and I went right when the movie was starting. And so we found seats and literally we're in this crowded theater and we can't see anybody. And we're watching this movie and it was just like the closest thing to like, closest thing to kind of like a pseudo religious experience, because you're going, I mean, not just the character is a priest, but because, you know, you're going through this like insane, just spiritual journey, not just with the actor character, but Daniel Plainview, but the filmmaker, you know, with Paul Thomas Anderson, you know, you're going on, and I knew Boogie Nights, you know, of all the movies that he did before them. But like when you go to see that on a theater, that was like the greatest thing ever experienced.
It is.
And just the music and everything, everything billowing, it was just beautiful.
Yeah. You feel like you're, I sometimes use the metaphor that in that case, the filmmaker is like a giant cinema mother and just holding you and rocking you with the beauty of it all, because, oh my God, the cinematography is great. It's like a moving, it's like a painting. It's so beautiful to look at.
That movie is a perfect movie. I mean, honestly though, you know, that year, No Country for Old Men took the best picture, and I understand why, but you know, it's just...
I was so angry when that happened.
Well, you know, you got a movie that's more philosophical, and then you got a movie that's about, you know, something, you know, it's about capitalism. And really, like, the philosophy won in the end, you know?
And they felt like giving the throne one to the Coen brothers.
I mean, well, that movie
They're
both perfect movies. I feel as if they came out, if There Will Be Blood came out in 2008... instead of 2007, it probably would have won Best Picture. But they're both perfect films. I feel like There Will Be Blood 2 is like, you know, because I got the artsy, I got the indie, and I got the classical variation of a period piece in there, you know? So I feel like that covers all the bases, but There Will Be Blood will always have a special place in my heart.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Three great picks, and all right, so the second question is an underrated film.
I had to think about this one for a long time because I really liked the other stuff that one of the other – I forgot his name, but he said Wizard of Speed and Time, and I actually watched that. And I was like, oh, shit, yeah, this movie's – like, I really wish I watched –
oh, yeah, that was Joey Bravo.
Yeah. I really wish that I watched Wizard of Speed and Time before that I had shot anything for Doug. Just for the simple fact that, like, a lot of that movie was in that, but my most underrated is actually The Limey. It's by Steven Soderbergh. Mostly because we studied that when we were studying editing in film school, and that's where I fell in love with the movie. And that movie, to me, is another perfect film because it's about memories, and it's about grief, and it does it in such a beautiful way where it's like, you know, he's on the plane, but is he really on the plane? Then he's walking on the street, but it's just him recalling, did I do the right thing in the end? Did I do a good job? And, you know, at the end of the day, he's just like, man, fuck it. You know what I mean? He's just like, meh. You know, it's the total, like, just that guy, you know, I mean, beautifully played and well made and all around. I feel like it's a lot of his movies are very underrated, but, you know, the fact that it exists in the ether of what, you know, of just filmmaking and movies in general is really something special, because in the long run, it's not a commercially viable movie. It's an indie movie, but there's nothing in it that is overdone or over, like, probably the most expensive shit other than the, you know, salaries or the locations. Right. And like, even at that point, it's shot up in the hills mostly. So now it really did a good job, and I didn't realize how much of an LA movie it was. So that's another thing that I'm like, oh fuck, this is a great LA movie. You know what I mean? Like, Heat is like the extreme LA movie. This is like, okay, this is fucking great.
That's funny, because I got to revisit it because I loved it when I saw it. But I haven't seen it, I think, since I saw it in theaters.
Oh, really?
When it first came out. I loved it. I love all Soderbergh, in fact.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. I guess we're on the mic. I could have waited until we stopped recording, but have you seen Schizopolis?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max. You have to watch Schizopolis.
Oh, wait. I think I've passed it. Is that another movie of his or something?
That's a Soderbergh film. That's the one he did when he wanted to quit filmmaking.
Right, okay, yes.
And he didn't want to have anything to do with the studio, so he made it himself with his own money, shot on Super 16. Mm-hmm. He's the lead actor.
Oh, is he really?
And he's fucking great.
That's awesome. I'll have to check it out.
one of the funniest actors I've had.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
He's one of my favorite filmmakers because he takes the conventions out completely and he just doesn't really care. Like, you know, he's the reason why for one of the projects that I'm trying to do at some point will be shot on an iPhone. Just for the same reason that, you know, because I mean, really, like, I think that, you know, and I could have included this in a longer one, but fuck it. I think that most people don't know what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to cameras. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to making a movie. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about in general when it comes to anything. And they should listen more. In fact, they should actually not pay attention to the quote unquote Netflix standards. They should pay more attention to, is this in 4K? Is this the right resolution? What aspect ratio would I like to shoot in? How do I push this button? How do I do this thing? What's the best angle for this? And I think, like, you know, phones really, you know, shit should get smaller so that we get in tighter corners. You know, because, like, you can do angles that you never really thought possible with a phone. With a Red, it's too risky because it's too dangerous. And honestly, like, most people should think like that. It's not really, like, about, you know, in the end, oh, how am I going to sell this thing? That's fucking bullshit. Like, that's just an excuse, I feel like. A large part of it is really, like, you know, the whole justification of the story, blah, blah, blah. Yes, but, I mean, I get it. But, you know, when we're thinking about, like it, would Orson Welles shoot an iPhone? Absolutely, he would. You know? John Cassavetes would, too.
Oh, 100%.
Know? I mean, especially now, too, knowing what we know now about these bloodsuckers, you know, about these fucking executive pieces of shits out there who literally, like, spend an enormous amount of money on something. It's just, because if I had, like, literally, like a thimbleful of whatever amount that was going to whatever, I literally would just push my own movies out all the time. Because they're not expensive. You know what I mean? Like, a million gets you 10 good movies. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. So, like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah,
you
know? For sure.
You can get a nice house. You can get the 10 movies. That's that, man. That's kind of how I think about it.
For sure.
You know? But most people are fucking idiots.
So, most aren't.
Which is why The Limey's a great movie. Because one's going to see it.
Limey is a great movie.
Yeah. And Soderbergh's a genius, you know?
He's absolute genius. Yeah, he's a... In a lot of ways, he's probably underrated, even though
he has
probably, I'd be happy to say, I think he'd say he has the career he wants.
He better say that's the career that I want.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, what the fuck, man?
Well, here, let's jump in. Let's jump to overrated.
Okay. Yeah. Well, is it any surprise what I'm going to say?
You're going to say Nomadland? No.
Well, oh, yeah. No, okay. Well, no, there's several overrated movies. I mean, really, yeah. I thought Nomadland was fucking garbage. And I understand why people like it, but I thought it was absolute bullshit. I mean, and I've had conversations with filmmaker friends, you know, we talked about it. I think several things. I know Chloe Zhao's style, and I'm really upset that the fact that, you know, that was the movie that they were, like, all crazy about when her other films are just as good.
Or better, I've heard.
Yeah, or better, yeah. I mean, you know, she has that uncanny ability that a lot of, like, that Dennis Hopper had back in the day where they could just point out, you know, people who aren't actors and use them in a click and in a safe environment where they, you know, and she also shoots with not a lot of people. That I like. But I feel as if, you know, when you make a movie that is literally about the greed of capitalism fucking people over and you don't include the whole political element and you say you're trying to make an apolitical movie when you feature Amazon, when you feature these people who've lost everything, you know, it's really a slap in the face because that's the most political movie you could fucking make, dude. Like, right. Literally.
But let me jump in. So, was that going to be your answer?
Marvel catalog was going to be my
Marvel
answer.
Catalog.
The entire Marvel catalog.
The Marvel
is overrated, in my opinion. Mostly, I have a theory that, you know, 9/11 was really kind of like a turning point for a lot of movie studios because from the period of after 9/11 happened, they were making mostly comedies and mostly buddy comedies and things that like had a very positive outlook on the world. And then they went from that to American exceptionalism with the creation of Marvel, i.e. Iron Man, as much of a great movie as that is on the surface, Iron Man, Captain America, all of these movies, the Avenger movies, every single thing is just this disgusting American exceptionalist ideal, which is unprecedented and never seen before. I mean, literally in Captain Marvel, they were literally using the Air Force as, you know, their front runner. And granted, it's about a chick who's in the Air Force, but still, nevertheless, there has never been a time in history of anything in film where a company has outsourced to the military this freely before. Top Gun, yes, because they had to. But we're talking like every fucking movie. And it's even seeping through the framework of how we think about things. And to me, it's very dangerous. I mean, yeah, I understand Denis Villeneuve's point about the whole cut and paste thing. I understand.
I don't know how Denis sounds like that name, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. I understand how the director of Dune 2021, okay, let's call him that, can fucking literally, like, say it's cut and paste thing, but so can Scorsese and so can all these other guys. And, you know, I get that. I also get that it's stories for the new generation. But does the new generation really have to be infatuated with all the bells and whistles that just don't actually happen in physics or in the material world? And is that such a thing as, like, okay, yeah, you want your escapism, but really, though, what is it really? Personally, to me, I just can't help but, you know, it's exhausting. Loki was actually really interesting, and the only thing that I was like, oh, wow, that's actually a fair point, because they do time very well, and they don't have any paradoxes within that I could find out. Not like Terminator does, for instance, or like any of those other movies, but it is that whole thing where, you know, there are going to teach classes about Marvel Mystique, I hope, later on in life. And I hope they call it that, because really, it's just this illusion of, you know, doing things for the greater good. But there's all this negativity that I can't help but see that the layman probably won't see, you know? And so it is what it is. I just think that it is a product of where our minds were at after in a post 9/11 world. You know,
I think you're right, which I hadn't thought of that specifically.
I've been saying that for years. I thought, yeah, I was crazy.
I think you'll agree with me. I enjoyed them, but one of my problems with the Marvel Cinematic Universe is Thanos pretty much had a good point.
Yeah, he did. No, he did.
Yeah, when the bad guy is actually like,
right.
I mean, what he should have done is snapped his fingers and half the population of the universe was sterile so that the next generation wouldn't. So you just cut, instead of people dying on you, you mm-hmm. just would have fewer babies.
Well, because the impact is a lot. I mean, look, you know, the impact is very.
But he was an environmentalist, basically. He was saving.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, but.
Well, no, yeah, and it also, too, makes the, it also, too, is like that whole no hope. Like, what I really wish that they would have done with the last one, with Endgame, was really just accept defeat. And, you know, all hope is inherently lost at the end, which is great, because that's that whole arc where they're like, oh, yeah, the shit hits the fan arc. But really, though, I mean, you know, what we are talking about is the fact that, you know, these are people who are inherently perfect, and they realize that they're not perfect, and they fucked it up in the middle of the whole thing. They fucked it up. You know, the first 10 minutes is great. After that, they fucked it up. And, you know, I get that was the route they're going with time and space and shit. It's just, you know,
once you have to fix your story with time travel.
Yeah, exactly. Then it's all fucked up. Yeah. And yeah. Honestly, too, you know, now it's just like in its own kind of thing. I mean, you know, say what you will. But even the Bond franchise is just questionable at times. So you never really know. They're just franchise movies. They want to make them to make money. We're always going to have these.
It's a fun ride. It's supposed to be a fun ride.
I love the Harry Potter franchises. They will never be as, you know, over the top. As much as it is over the top, it will never be a sellout as much as the Marvel franchise has. Marvel, please hire me. Because we'll make a fucking deep, dark one for sure.
But actually, funny story. If you ever watch these films with a kid, mm-hmm. With those fresh eyes, I believe our kid, when I showed her Harry Potter, after she'd seen the Star Wars films, she just at one point, she just went, oh, Harry's just Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, like she exactly. said that. It's like the she same said that. Shit.
She's like,
yeah.
she's like, you know, at the end, it's like, yeah, it's all, yeah, it's, mm-hmm. we're just recycling stories, like yeah. always.
And JJ did the best job of recycling all three at a time. Anyway,
last but question. I love Star Wars. Last question is a lesser known film that people should look up or seek out.
I wrote this down. Shit. Well, you know, I honestly, I don't know what people have and have not seen. Because on my list, I actually wrote three. Two of them are by the same guy, but three of them. And, you know, I'll probably leave and be like, ah, fuck. But, you know, I mean, really, I think lesser known movies that I wrote off were They Live, which is a movie that I would love to figure out how to remake for today's audience, because I think it's very of the time. But then the other two were, and I don't know who the fuck has seen or seen not, whatever they've seen, but Faces and Killing of a Chinese Bookie. And the reason why is because, you know, Cassavetes was a huge influence on me. And he actually the mark that he left for filmmaking for me was pretty predominant in I hope anyway in Doug, because that was one of the reasons why I wanted to shoot in black and white was because of Faces and Killing of a Chinese Bookie. I watched one time and it's a tough movie, but like that's another one that I would like to remake too, because it's interesting up until the part where you get to the guys who are like in the car. It goes, okay, his house is here, you gotta go through the canyon on this map, and they're showing him on a map and they like pull it out and they literally like, I'm just like, oh my god, this is so of the time of like the 60s and 70s. But you know, those movies I feel like they are art movies, and they are definitely something that I guess the layman hasn't seen. I'm surprised people don't even know about They Live. But like I said, I don't know what people have and have not seen, you know, which is why I liked the Wizard of Speed and Time answer. Another movie that's a lesser known movie that is just a guilty pleasure for me that I just thought of off the top of my head is actually, if you want a good laugh, you should look up the movie Hamburger.
Hamburger the movie, right?
Yes, Hamburger the movie.
By the way, so let me.
I don't remember who that's by, but that's on YouTube. You could check it out. And if you just want a good, just like fuck everything, good laugh, that would probably be it.
It's funny. I have a clear memory of something really sexy in that movie. But anyway, let me add. I think you know the sexy thing, but,
of course.
But I just want to brag that I saw They Live in the theaters on a Tuesday night, because where I went to college, Tuesday night was dollar movie night. Like all the new movies were $5. I don't forget the discount. So I went to see it Tuesday night. Thought it was the greatest fucking thing ever. Mm-hmm. And then the next night I went back and watched it. Brought another group of friends. Wow. So I went to two nights in a row. That's because amazing. I can't get enough of They Live.
Yeah, that was a movie
and
that kept
honestly,
me up.
The Cassavetes thing.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about him, but no one watches him.
Yeah, that's pinnacle film school work right there. You know, that's like must watch shit. I mean, yeah. Like the thing.
But They Live is John Carpenter, like at his most subversive best.
Oh
like,
yeah, no, that's his because like, that's him like being like a fucking angry hippie at you know at Reaganomics, just angry at the whole
the
world,
Reagan Revolution.
You know,
there should have been a remake while we had.
No, I think there's
office.
Going to be one sooner than later, but if not, then I would love to do one, and I know exactly how you could do it to make it justifiable, and it's not really, it's like a partial mix of the homage of Sunglasses, but also, too, man, like, social media
VR,
and
yeah,
shit, and you know, the fact that we use it to record everything is just outrageous, and like, you know, Orwell was right, man. I mean, you know, like everything's going to be everywhere. It's going to be broadcasted everywhere. It's just how it is. But not for real, though. Like, yeah, I think the first time I saw They Live was a midnight screening on HBO or something. I really don't remember where I watched it, but it was on TV.
Honestly, it's impressive that you saw it because, you know,
it kept me up till 3:30.
Everyone sees a lot of Carpenter. Carpenter made a lot of great films. Yeah, they see Halloween. Yeah. They see Starman. They see Big Trouble in Little China.
I hated The Thing when I first saw it.
Really?
I hated it so much because I was like, that's it! You know, I always like that angry guy in the background being like, that's a fucking piece of shit movie. Because literally, like, I was like, what the fuck? But then I remembered all my favorite films have that up in the air resolution. And, you know, you talk about the ultimate COVID movie. That's the thing right there. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing is, like, it, yeah, you know, that
yeah,
movie.
That's your infection film,
but,
yeah.
But the fascinating thing is that, you know, when you're watching it, you don't, like art, filmmaking and art is just that funny thing where, you know, when you watch it, you die. Like, the thing I hope that when people see Doug is, like, when they see it, it's about more than just a guy who's, you know, like, driving around LA and going to all these auditions and fucking up. You know, it's really like that's what true art and true filmmaking is, and I hope that at some point that's
well,
what it
more
shows.
Than that because we're seeing inside his mind really early.
Yeah, to an extent, yes. I mean, I wish that we did other things too, but like at the same time, just time. You
time,
know what I mean?
Time.
But like, you know, it is what it is. I mean, that's the beauty about it is that, you know, there could be the rewatchability factor to a lot of movies is super important. Like, I've seen There Will Be Blood, I don't know how many times, Mulholland Drive, I've lost count. The last time I saw Taxi Driver, I got really high and I was watching, I was like, oh my God, to think they just let this guy out in public. You know what I mean? Like, he's just out in the world. And, you know, and that's the thing about, you know, it's not about the fucking awards. It's really about the fact that you can watch a movie and say, oh my God, that guy's out in the world somewhere, you know? And I'm sure that's what that pull is for some people, right? Because really, like, in the end, like, when I'm writing these ideas and when I'm coming up with other projects, it's like, what, you know, the theme, I guess, just comes to me later on. Like, I don't really think about it until like in the heat of the moment. I'm not like,
yeah, no, you should be just writing.
Yeah.
Not placing it in context right from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing about it, man. I don't know. It's this whole, like, you know, Stanislavski was like, oh yeah, the truth is more important than, you know, I'm just like, oh my God, he's so right. But nobody likes the truth, you know, everybody likes to be fawned on and shit, you know, but we'll get there. I mean, pretty much. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I have a chip on my shoulder for not finishing college, but like I came out here instead. This is my film school,
you know,
never done learning, right?
People always got chips on their shoulders.
Oh yeah.
Even no matter what. And you know what? Like you said, the truth, maybe people don't want it, but like, well, whatever. But you name some films, you name films that got the truth in it, you know, and they are appreciated.
Trust me. I mean, I keep a list of the movies that made me.
I mean, 50 years from now, I bet There Will Be Blood will still play perfectly. And Avengers Endgame will be like, kind of like a cheesy 2020. You know what I mean? Like it,
yeah, we've always had.
I think the truth
movies.
Weathers better.
Oh, for sure. No, we've always had cheesy movies like that. I mean, you know, the 80s were filled with them. There are movies that people don't even know about that, like, were made in the 70s that were very, like, just out of control, super, super low to no budgets. I mean, like, you know, and that's the crazy thing is that, like, the world we live in is just the most unpredictable thing alive, you know, period, bar none. I mean, this conversation is already a footnote in history while we're talking about it. Like, it's literally like, that's how fast time works. And so I think, like, you know, the real thing is that, you know, when people ask you, oh, what do you want to do? You know, I fucking hate that question because I just want to make movies until I fucking die. But like, at the same time though, I understand what they mean. Like, how do you want to achieve, like, you know, happiness or, you know, on a deeper spiritual level, like, you know, what do you want to accomplish, you know? And honestly, it's just, I want to live in a world where people don't have to struggle to make movies or like talk about the things that they want to talk about or like get canceled for mentioning something like fuck Marvel, but hire me Marvel, you know, like that kind of shit, you know? So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, cause like I don't have any representation. I don't know how one gets the representation, But how the fact that it is the who you know aspect.
You get it after you don't need it.
Actually. Yeah, yeah. It's so frustrating. You know, I would like to at least just do shit and work and work, you know, and try to get things going. And I feel like I'm doing it. But, you know, it's even in that one book you described earlier, it takes like 10 to get one. Right. So, like, you know, we're still doing shit. And I think the game is changing as we're speaking. And so, I mean, we're just in the, you know, in this interesting matrix reality right now where we just have to just continue being inspired by something, you know?
And that's why the film The Matrix is huge, because it's actually a documentary. It's actually true. And seriously, we're just batteries, man. We're just batteries. Everybody knows it. We're in The Matrix.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But anyhow, sorry, I got to wrap it up. So I'll wrap it up. I'll remind people, go to jonathanlatona.com. JonathanLatona.com. And from there, you can hit his work, hit his films, learn about him. Go to Johnny Boy Films on Instagram or other social media, and you can chat with him after you watch his films. Mm-hmm. Do what you want. Give his shit 5 stars, 10 stars, as many stars, however many stars there are. Give it that many. And give this podcast 5 stars right now. Well, what is it? Subscribe and review. Subscribe. Yeah. Subscribe and give it 5 stars. Be a kind person. Life is short to not be kind to people you never met.
Yeah.
And
make movies, please.
Yeah. And if you want to learn more about this podcast, and actually there's a TV series that complements it, go to discoverindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's at DIFWins. And I met Jonathan in 2018, when he brought a film to the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. That festival happens every November, and you can learn about it at ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And Doug, that we talked about a little bit here and a lot in the last the podcast before this one, Doug cleaned up 3 awards at Filmvasion LA in June 2020. So that festival's every June, and you can learn about it at FilmInvasionLA.com, and it's at FilmInvasionLA on social media. And I have now completed my spiel. We are free to go.
Thanks for having me.
Watch the films Jonathan recommended, especially They Live. They Live should be required homework for
most of those movies, if you haven't seen them, are required homework.
That's true. That's
including Hamburgers, required homework.
Hamburger the movie.
But thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Jonathan,
for
coming in.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.